Hey guys, this is Kenan Thompson. I have a problem with you. Yes, you. None of y'all told me that Auto Trader has millions of new and used cars that I can shop from home. I thought we were friends. I put smiles on your face, but I'm not smiling. No one told me that with Auto Trader, a dealer can deliver cars to my home or that I could shop by price on Auto Trader. No one. Consider this friendship that you just learned we had officially over. Finally, it's easy. Auto Trader.
Hour number two of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Dusty May scheduled to join us coming up in a few moments. Looking forward to that conversation. He joined us earlier in the week, and now his team is one game away from going to the Final Four as they punch their ticket to the Elite Eight last night, where they will have a date with Kansas State, as FAU has been a tremendous story now, 34-3 on the year. And in that second half, with about like 10, 11 minutes remaining, they just took over and ended up winning the game. And last night, just what a night for college basketball. When you take a glance, I know UConn did blow out Arkansas. Gonzaga, UCLA was an absolute classic. Kansas State, Michigan State was a thriller as well, with that game going into overtime and Marquise Noel just dominating the NCAA tournament. And then you had FAU, who was phenomenal in those final 10, 11 minutes, and they just took it to Tennessee, and they ended up winning 62-55. And now joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio is a man that's going to be coaching tomorrow once again at Madison Square Garden, as his team is in the Elite Eight. FAU up against Kansas State. Winner goes to Houston for the Final Four. And now joining us is the head honcho at FAU with the Owls, and that is Dusty May. Coach, congratulations on another victory in the NCAA tournament, and thanks so much for doing this once again.
Thank you, Zach, and it's great to be on.
So last night when you're in Madison Square Garden and you're the coach of FAU and you hear the building just chanting FAU, what's going through your mind?
I'll be honest, Zach, I didn't even hear that. I saw it on social media today, and it gave me goosebumps. It was awesome. But for whatever reason, during the game, the only thing I really hear are players or our assistants or someone involved in the game. It's an odd deal where I don't hear anything else outside the court.
It just speaks to, though, this tournament, too, because how many people, no offense, were talking about FAU before this tournament nationally, and you have Madison Square Garden screaming, "Let's go Owls" in FAU. It's just awesome.
Yeah, actually, there are a lot of New Yorkers, New Jersey, who I think Snowbird and Boca. So there is a strong East Coast connection to our university and area. But, yeah, nothing like we didn't expect anything like that.
I know that you guys as coaches, right, you're kind of like robots. It's you win, and then you got to invest everything into the next game. But when we bring you on, Dusty May, and we say FAU's going to the Elite Eight, and you'll have this game up against Kansas State, just what goes through your mind when you get to process that for a minute, that FAU's playing in the Elite Eight tomorrow?
You know, I was laughing with Coach Williams and our staff. We got off the bus. I said, "Are we really in the Elite Eight?" It's kind of been kind of a running joke all year. "We really won 15 games in a row? Are we really 15-1? So said the same thing today, and he laughed and said, "Yep, we are." And then we went to practice. So it's one of those things. I've said it several times today. After the season, I'm sure I'll be sitting around, and one of the games will come on ESPN Classic or CBS College Sports Network, and my boys and I will watch it, and it'll feel awesome. But when you're in the eye of the storm, you're just focused on the next thing because you don't want to let an opportunity pass because you're focusing on your last game.
It's such a special story, but when it really hit me last night is I saw a clip of you talking to your team afterwards in the locker room, and you put up the three fingers, and you say, "Guys, three more wins and we're national champs." That's great.
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes when you get to this stage, this point in the season, and it's, you know, I've been here a few times as an assistant or a support staffer, and you're almost like, "Wow, we made it to the Elite Eight," or "Wow, we did this." And so you're not nearly as hungry for the next thing. Just because in our sport, each step is such a milestone because it's so hard and there are so many of us, 360-plus teams competing for this. And so I just wanted to make sure, I probably got out ahead of myself a little bit, but I just wanted to make sure the guys knew how close we are to the actual finish line. But it was more just to try to turn their attention to what's next instead of still celebrating that game.
I know you guys have confidence, and I know what you said earlier, like, "Wow, 15 wins, wow, we're playing in the Elite Eight," all that stuff. Does this success surprise you guys, or did you know that you had a really good team?
This level of success, yes, but no, we would have been extremely disappointed if we didn't win 20, 25 games this year. We won 19 last year, and we invented new ways to lose. We laughed, or didn't laugh, but we talked about it several times after the season. We would snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory somehow, some way. We'd foul a three-point shooter, and he'd bank in a three. Or, you know, there's just at one point we were the second most unlucky team as far as KenPom's luck factor. So just an odd year, the randomness of winning and losing. And this year, the tide has turned, and even the games we didn't play great, we still found a way to win and even had some fortunate bounces. So I'm not naive to think that this is all just us. But, you know, last year it all went the other way, so I guess we were due.
Dusty May here with us, the head coach at FAU, the Owls in the Elite Eight at Madison Square Garden coming up tomorrow night against Kansas State. Last night against Tennessee where you got the victory to punch your ticket to the Elite Eight, I thought Michael Forrest was big for you guys in that second half. The back-to-back threes and the two-point shot took you from down four to being up four, and then your guys' coach never looked back from there.
No question. Mike is a prolific scorer, one of the best players to ever wear an FAU uniform, and he's in the midst of his biggest slump in 5 years. And to see him come out and get the fire back in his eye and regain his confidence was a really, really special moment because he's a guy that deserves to go out on a high note.
As a staff, what do you do for a player? Like, eventually he just has to hit the shots, and he did last night. But what do you kind of do to take someone's mind off being in a slump?
Well, we tried a number of things and actually just encouraged him. I told him yesterday or 2 days ago, I said, man, just try to find out what grounds you. And sometimes it's spiritual. Sometimes it's just getting away from it. We're all wired differently. So do something today that's going to get your mind off of it and just get you back to, I guess if you go back, if you're a Happy Gilmore fan, go find your happy place. Or you're Billy Madison fan, go find your happy place. And so he did a walk in Central Park and just went by himself and just thought and probably reflected. And, you know, he just got back to being him. So really unique moment for him after, like I said, being in the biggest slump of his career to bounce back and be the hero of that game.
Talking to Dusty May, you guys did not allow them to have any space in the paint last night. It was almost as if you were daring them to shoot. Just what worked so well with that game plan in the second half defensively?
Well, we're small at the positions 1 through 4, but we're really big at the 5 position. Our center's 7'1", and fortunately none of their centers shoot three-pointers. So we were able just to clog up the paint with our center, Vlad Golden, and then our other guys, the switchability, the physicality they play with. We were able to force a lot of tough shots in that 8 to 14 foot range. And then because our guys are so physical on the glass, we're able to rebound those basketballs. So a number of things went right. It was a good matchup for us with the way we play with our system. So fortunately our guys stepped up and made the plays when they needed to be made.
You outscored them in the second half 40-28, but you went into halftime trailing 27-22. What was the vibe in your locker room at half?
Well, every game at half, the coaches go in one direction, the players go to the locker room, and then we reconvene. And as soon as I walk in the locker room, I ask them, what did you guys talk about? And the first thing one of our guys said was, Coach, we played terrible and we're down 5. So I think that gave us a lot of hope. And then from the staff's perspective, the last part of the first half, we played really good basketball, and just didn't make shots. You know, we didn't play well the first 8 or 10 minutes, but the last 10 or so, and the ball just didn't go in. So we talked about that as long as we defend and rebound, we have a spurt in us. Usually we have a couple spurts in each half where we can go on an 8-0 run or a 10-2 run. So we did talk about that if we just keep doing what we're doing, we have a spurt in us. We've got to stay the course, and our guys were awesome in the second half.
It seems like John L. Davis and then also Nicholas Boyd just must be a joy to coach.
Oh, they love the game. They're great teammates. And, you know, that's another factor. John L. Davis had 2 fouls in the first half, so we sat him the last 8 or 9 minutes. Typically, we play him, but we were hanging around, and we thought we could just get him to the second half, that mental barrier, so he can just play aggressively without having to worry about the fouls. And so that was also a big difference. We had John L. back play in the second half. They're awesome to coach. They're big-time players that really believe in themselves and each other.
Wrap it up with Dusty May. So let's get to Kansas State real quickly, Coach. You'll play him tomorrow coming up a few minutes after 6 o'clock here on the East Coast. Marquise Noel has been the best player, has been the star of this NCAA tournament. I don't think you could stop him, but how do you try to contain him tomorrow?
Well, we've played a lot of dynamic guards this year, and typically they've been dynamic scorers. What makes Noel so unique is he's just as good of a passer and creator, and he makes everyone around him significantly better. So we've just got, he's going to score points, he's going to get assists. We have to do a great job on the role players, and we have to find a way to make sure he doesn't have an efficient stat line.
I also wonder which way the building will lean tomorrow, because everyone's loving Noel, but then everyone's loving your program as well.
Yeah, there was. I do think Kansas State had the star power behind them yesterday, behind their bench. Mace and some guys were there. We saw. So hopefully we can pull the common fan over to our side.
And then what stands out to you with Keontae Johnson?
You know, I've known Keontae since he was in high school, and he's just a really unique talent where he plays at an old man's pace. Guys that play in the NBA play that he doesn't get sped up. He's an elite athlete. He's a really good shooter, driver, post guy. So just the fact that he can play all over the court, and then he's a threat for a lob at any moment, as we saw last night. They've thrown several lobs from half court to him, and if he just put it anywhere near the basket and he doesn't have a body on him, it's 2 points. So he presents a number of challenges, but we just, once again, just had to find a way to make sure he scores inefficiently.
Coach Dusty May, I know when you joined us early in the week, you talked about the importance of Bobby Knight and Mike White and what they've meant to your career as a Temple. I remember a few of those matchups against La Tech when you were on the staff at the Leah Chorus Center. What has communication been like? I know you work with Mike's brother as he's your AD, but what's communication like during this run with Coach Bobby Knight and then also Mike White?
I don't talk to Coach Knight much. I've spoken with Pat through text throughout the run of the season. I've spoken with Coach White just about every day until today, and a couple of guys on staff spoke with him. So we're keeping in touch. He gives us good insight on what he sees because he knows us. He knows our players. We watch each other's teams. So it's always nice to have an outsider perspective from someone that also knows the insider. So he's given us some good nuggets from what he sees, but it's been really cool because we all share these experiences to the guys we're close with. So without those guys, I wouldn't be here. So it's an honor for me to share it with those guys.
Coach, when you go on a run like this, your name gets thrown in a hopper for a bunch of other jobs. How do you just kind of deal with all that speculation?
I don't think about it and put my notifications on silent and focus on what's important, which is our team and this job. I feel like if the moment I start thinking about other things is when I'm going to get distracted, and we preach to our players about staying in the moment and focusing on what's important. So what type of example would I be leading if I wasn't doing the same?
Last thing I'll ask you, tomorrow when you speak to your team right before you guys throw that ball up in the air, what's going to be the message when you go up against a very good Kansas State team?
Go have fun, and we don't have to do anything that we haven't done for 39 games now, including our scrimmage and exhibitions.
That's going to be awesome. Can't wait to see it unfold. Really appreciate you making the time for us throughout the week, and good luck tomorrow.
No problem. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
There you go. Dusty May joining us at FAU. And, man, what an experience that is for that team. And we know going into this tournament, they've only lost 3 games on the season, being at 31-3. They find a way in a thriller to beat Memphis in the first round of the tournament. Then they outlast FDU, who was the 16 seed. And last night, when you look at that contest against Tennessee, he hit the – I thought his talk about the team in the locker room, and that's something coaches should do, right? Coaches go one way, players go the other, and let the players talk. And then he goes up to his player and said, what did you guys talk about? Well, coach, we're only down by 5 at halftime. We didn't play well, and we feel good about ourselves. And you saw in that second half, once you had the shots start to fall and you had the one player who's in a slump hit the 2 threes and then hit the 2 in Michael Forrest, and they go from down 4 to being up by 4, it totally just opened up the floodgates for that team, not just in the way that they were scoring, but from a confidence standpoint. And once they got that lead, they just didn't look back, and they just went forward. And you say this all the time, not that they're a Cinderella team, but no one thought they would be in the Elite Eight. And when you allow, and when you're a team like Tennessee coming off that big win against Duke, and everyone's like, all right, Rick Barnes, you're going to get back to another Final Four. And is this going to be the year, right, when he does it at Tennessee? And the longer, if you're a team like Tennessee, you let a team like FAU, who's a very good team, hang around, and you don't deliver the knockout punch, then the team that did not get knocked out starts to get off the ropes, counterpunch, 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 and then they knock you out. And FAU does not have a better roster than Tennessee. right? We know where the recruits are when you look at where FAU plays compared to Tennessee and the SEC. And FAU was just a better team last night. And hear all about this physicality for Tennessee. FAU did not let them breathe in the paint. And they said, go beat us shooting from three. And you look back at that contest from the Duke game where Olivier was just awesome. He did nothing in the game last night. Nothing. So that's a heck of a job by Dusty May. And Hickey, you're welcome, because I threw in that question for you towards the end. How do you deal with all the speculation? Because this is going to be a guy. We'll see if he takes the Penn State job. I got to think he's got to be at the top of the list for Penn State. And a lot of jobs have already filled, so maybe you wait a year from now. And we've seen guys, right? Oral Roberts, where their coach Paul Mills, wait until he leaves, and he just left for Wichita State. You saw Porter Moser wanted to get back with that group out of Little Chicago and then leave for Oklahoma. So you don't got to leave right away. Now, like Tobin Anderson, you have Fairleigh Dickinson, right? A school with no resources. And then you get offered Iona, a school with good resources, being a mid-major. You got to go take that job. So we've seen some coaches leave right away. Shaheen Holloway, your alma mater, calls, got to go. So you've seen some coaches that go on these runs, leave right away. Others that stick around for a few years. And we'll see how calculated Dusty May is, because I got to think Penn State, just for starters, are going to come calling. And do you take that job, or do you wait a year, 2 years from now? And he has a relationship, right? He coached with Mike White. And then Mike's brother is the AD at FAU. And Mike's other brother was the AD at Tennessee. So I don't know. Does that buy you another year or two? I don't know. But he has now become, and you see this each and every year in March, where there's coaches you don't talk about, and then all you do is talk about them. And Dusty May, Hickey, is going to be one of those next big names that you talk about the next few years until he takes a bigger job than FAU. But FAU, what he's done with that program and what he's done this year, like, they have a legitimate shot tomorrow to take down Kansas State to go to the Final Four. They're a team that's a 9 seed. It's wild.
It's wild. It's also not a fluke when you look right now, since Houston is that game is just tipped off. But they, you know, obviously if they win, it'll be tied. But right now in all of college basketball, they have the most wins at 34. So it's not one of those things where it's they're 500 during the year, got hot, won the conference tournament. Now it's kind of on a hot streak. This team has been dominant from start to finish. No fluke. I love his answer about block out the distractions. And again, there's no reason to doubt this team whatsoever going forward, no matter who they're playing.
And really, what they did defensively last night was just bonkers. And also, you look at the scheduling, too. The schools that are able to go on these runs, that are the quote-unquote smaller schools, they usually schedule big opponents at some point, usually just with the way the schedule dictates, early in the season. I know Ole Miss did not have a good year, but that is an SEC school. They scheduled them. I know they lost. They beat Florida by 2. I think playing those bigger programs, it helps your kids when you get into these bigger moments, when you're going up against a team that's just bigger and better than you on paper. So I do think that helps later on in the year. And those matchups were the second and third games of the season. So they have been a fun team to watch, really a joy to watch. And that building tomorrow, Madison Square Garden, I think the neutral fan is fascinating, because there's going to be a lot of neutral fans. I know Kansas State's a really good program, but there's going to be a lot of neutral fans with FAU Kansas State. And just because people's grandmothers go to Boca in the winter, I don't think that means there's going to be a ton of heavily invested FAU fans. But the neutral fans tomorrow, FAU's been a wonderful story. And then Kansas State, they have the most entertaining player in the tourney right now. And I really wonder where the neutral fan is going to lie. I lean more so Kansas State just because of Marquise Noel. But if that game is close and FAU starts hitting threes, maybe it goes, Hickey, to the side of FAU.
I'm picking FAU. I'm rolling with the Owls.
Outright?
Outright.
To go to the Final Four. Let's be real, what that's all about. That's because you're trying to suck up to Dusty May because you want him as your next coach at Penn State.
I love them as the next coach, Penn State. They've also been a fun team, and they have beaten some legitimate teams, so I'm all in. Let's go.
I'm on to you, Hickey. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
There's nothing better than feeling comfortable in your own shoes. And that doesn't mean flopping down on the couch with bunny slippers. Maybe you're a parent raising a little rock star, or a tech nomad working from anywhere and jumping from one thing to the next. Whoever you are, Allbirds wants you to be comfortable in your actual shoes, too. Their wool runners, pipers, and loungers are designed for a level of coziness that makes you feel like you can do anything. You might even forget you're wearing them. And their shoes are so stylish, they go perfectly with a wear-whatever-I-want attitude. Allbirds is all about loving Mother Nature, too, because no one wants to leave a bad footprint. Each shoe is carefully crafted from natural materials that tread lightly on our planet. From ZQ-certified merino wool to a bouncy midsole made from sweet foam, the world's first carbon-negative EVA material made from sugarcane. So get comfortable in your shoes. Get to know the wool runners, pipers, and loungers at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Potential upset alert in the making. It's early, but we're at the half, and San Diego State is up 28-23 against Alabama. And so far, Brandon Miller, he has two fouls, but he's been a no-show in this game. 0-3 from 3. 2-9 from the field, only has 4 points. And those two fouls, they're adding up as you look through the first 20 minutes of basketball. And it's not even as if San Diego State has played this incredible game. It's a sloppy game. That's what this is right now. And San Diego State's 2-9 from 3. They're shooting 32% from the field. So far, Hickey, you know, my analysis was kind of, I think Alabama's going to win the game, but I'll plus the 7.5 with San Diego State. There's still 20 minutes of basketball to play, and we know how quickly Alabama could put it together. But we've discussed this. So far, Alabama has not been tested, and they also have not played a great opponent. San Diego State, I know no one talks about them. They're not a great opponent, and Alabama's struggling with them in this first half. And I know you could look at it and say, when will Alabama get tested in this tournament? Is it Creighton, assuming Creighton beats Princeton? Is it the winner of FAU Kansas State? They're going to get tested tonight, and they're being tested right now. But if they don't win this game, that's a brutal look. And I mean, it would be embarrassing with how this road is shaping up for you and how people thought it was even easy. Yours truly, with just being the number one overall seed and looking at the way that this South region was constructed and then all the upsets that have occurred, and then looking at nothing against FAU and Kansas State, but if you were Bamba before the start of this tournament and you said you get to the Final Four, you're playing one of those teams, you would sign up for that in a second. But right now, early on, this Bama team, they better wake up at halftime and they better come out to start the second half with a little intensity and try to take over this game, because the longer you allow, and we talk about this all the time in the tourney, the longer you allow, I know they're a 5 seed, so it's weird calling them an underdog, but they are an underdog in this game, that San Diego State team, to stick around when they didn't even play a good first half and they're still up on you, that's going to be troublesome for Bama. So we'll get a feel of what Bama's made out of in the first 5 minutes, I would say, coming out of half, because this first half, they're lucky San Diego State has not played well, because this first half, they're shooting 27% from the field. They're 1 of 11. That's 9.1% from 3. They're 1 of 11 from 3. And to go into half only trailing 28-23, Hickey, it's weird to say that's a win, but it feels like a win for Alabama. So these first 5 minutes, we'll see if either of these teams are able to get hot, but it's so important for Alabama because you need to make a statement here. No one's going to say ooh and ah if you beat San Diego State, but if you kind of just survive and advance and it's really ugly and you win this game by a point or two and you're lethargic in the second half and you just beat San Diego State, Assuming Creighton beats Princeton, it would not surprise me if a lot of people then start to pick Creighton to maybe upset Alabama. But let's see if Creighton gets there, and let's see if Alabama does get there first.
And we talked about it in the first hour. Again, with the way the path is for Alabama, they have by far the most pressure of any team on them to get, I mean, to the national title game bare minimum, just because, again, of all the upsets and even just where their region was to begin with. So to not even make it to the Elite Eight, if you lose this game, it's a colossal failure for Nate Oates and this Alabama team.
And you know what this kind of reminds me of? Bama heading into this tourney was like the Eagles in the NFC. And you look at the way that this is kind of played on out, it's Bama, it feels like it's Bama and everyone else on the left side of the bracket. On the right side of the bracket, this is the AFC, folks. You have Houston, you have Miami, you have Xavier, you have Texas, and after last night, you have UConn and Gonzaga. The right side of the bracket, it's not even close, are much better teams than the entirety of the left side of the bracket. And you look at Bama, if you don't get to that championship game, now I know it's a championship or bust season when you're number one overall seed in the tourney, but if they don't get just to the championship game, and that's not me crushing these other programs. Like Creighton before the year was supposed to win the Big East. They're getting hot right now. FAU, they were phenomenal in the final 10 minutes against Tennessee. Kansas State, I love them. With Keontae Johnson and Marquise Noel and Jerome Tang has been a great story. But I'll even, you if they don't get to that championship game, Hickey, with that road that we talked about, you're right. It would be embarrassing for Alabama. Like you get to the championship game and you'll lose by three to UConn or Houston or Miami or Texas or Gonzaga, whoever it is, that's one thing. But you got to get there. And through the first 20 minutes, this team has showed zero fight. They have not been able to hit a shot. And they have been a team that they are lucky right now to just be down by 5 points. Because it feels like it should be a lot worse. But San Diego State, let's not also just let them off the hook. Yeah, you're up by five. You're going to take that. But they have not played well, as you know, in addition to that.
And what I'm interested to see in the second half for Alabama is, too, how they respond, because we've seen in the tournament so many times, so many years, where you are that high seed, you are that deemed, you know, big-time favorite. And now when you let a lesser team hang around, the building starts to root for the underdog. You see kind of, you know, teams that end up losing tighten up, really start to feel the pressure, get out of the rhythm of how they play offense and defense and really try to play hero ball, which only leads to more likelihood of getting upset. I'm really interested to see how Alabama does respond to, like I said, just because of how bad the first half was. And teams that, you know, great teams are able to put that past them and have a great second half. Teams that are prone to upsets and then do go down are the ones that really kind of struggle, put pressure on themselves, and let the moment consume them too much.
And in the other game that's going on right now, Miami and Houston, we are in a track meet right now. Coming up on about 10 minutes left in the first half, it's 19-17. Miami is up on Houston. I think that is going to be just a phenomenal game. And you look at it, and maybe I'll end up being wrong here, but Miami, Houston, and Xavier, Texas, those are the two games that I think will be the best games of this Friday slate. But if you have San Diego State upset Alabama, if you have Princeton upset Creighton, you know just how that does operate. I do think Bama will win, but I am worried about them. And I just think Creighton is just going to be too good of a team, what they have 1-5, to lose to Princeton, even though Princeton has been a wonderful story. And as good as their win was up against Arizona, it was even more impressive with how they just took it and dominated Missouri in that game last weekend in that South regional part of the bracket.
There's nothing better than feeling comfortable in your own shoes. And that doesn't mean flopping down on the couch with bunny slippers. Maybe you're a parent raising a little rock star, or a tech nomad working from anywhere and jumping from one thing to the next. Whoever you are, Allbirds wants you to be comfortable in your actual shoes too. Their wool runners, pipers, and loungers are designed for a level of coziness that makes you feel like you can do anything. You might even forget you're wearing them. And their shoes are so stylish, they go perfectly with a wear whatever I want attitude. Allbirds is all about loving Mother Nature too, because no one wants to leave a bad footprint. Each shoe is carefully crafted from natural materials that tread lightly on our planet. From ZQ certified merino wool to a bouncy midsole made from sweet foam, the world's first carbon negative EVA material made from sugarcane, So get comfortable in your shoes. Get to know the wool runners, pipers, and loungers at allbirds.com. That's allbirds.com.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, with the coaches that are remaining in the NCAA tournament from the winners last night that move on into the Elite Eight, and then the coaches that are currently participating right now to punch the Final Four tickets to the Elite Eight that we will see coming up tomorrow. When you get through these coaches, Hickey, let's go through coaches with the most to gain out of all the coaches that are still participating in the NCAA tournament. Let's start with Dusty May, who just joined us a few moments ago. I don't think there's really much more to gain from the run that he's already gone on. Like, the legend just continues to grow, clearly, and it does get better. But if he loses tomorrow, and let's say they get even smacked by Kansas State, which I think it will be a close game, but even if they get blown out, I think he's already put himself in that conversation of that next young coach that a lot of schools are going to want to hire. And we've been through this song and dance before, whether it's someone like a Porter Moser, Shaheen Holloway, Paul Mills, right? Like, guys that just go on these great runs. And, you know, I don't want to, like, you look at what Dusty May is doing, like, they are a 9 seed. It's not like a 15, a 16, a 14, whatever it is. But to take it this far, no one could have seen this coming. That's why it gets associated kind of with that Cinderella tag. But at this rate, I think he's already in that conversation of, you know, that a lot of schools are going to be interested. It's just a matter of when you're going to leave Boca Raton, Florida, to go take that big job and how calculated you want to be.
I don't say immortalized is the word I would use if you win tomorrow, but it's like you then put yourself in rarefied air. Again, I know they're not like George Mason and VCU in the sense of seeding and even caliber of team. Again, they have 34 wins this year.
And Shockwave a little bit before he left.
Right. But it's like you remember those teams no matter what. You remember George Mason. I think it was 06, if I'm not mistaken. You remember VCU. They come right to your mind right away. Loyola Chicago, because they all made it to the Final Four. I think that's really the only thing in game where I think Dusty May and FAU would kind of go into that category. Not that they'd be forgotten, but you do tend to forget teams. Like St. Peter's eventually, 10 years from now, will not be top of mind. When you see it, oh, yeah, that's right, great run. But I think those, like, if you are FAU, you win tomorrow, I think you enter the VCU, George Mason, Loyola Chicago category of not forgotten whatsoever because you immortalized that with a Final Four appearance.
You know what they could be similar to? And I don't remember where they were seed-wise in the NCAA tournament. So if I'm jumping the gun on this, excuse me. And I know that this program is in a much bigger conference. But you remember a few years ago when Frank Martin was out South Carolina? I think it was like 2017 or 2018. And they went to the Final Four. Like, that was a team that no one expected them to get there before the start of the NCAA tournament. When you go through that run, it's like, oh, okay, it's South Carolina, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, I'm not comparing directly South Carolina to FAU because it's two totally different amount of resources. But kind of like one of those feels where it's not like, oh, my goodness gracious, this is the craziest upset that I've ever seen. But it is still viewed by at large a team that no one was picking to get to this point.
Right, and you make it to the Final Four, you just really, again, put yourself in a stratosphere that I think would be greater than just making it to the Elite Eight.
They were a 7 that year. So, like, that's why I knew that they weren't a top 5 seed, so they ended up being a 7. Okay, let's continue to move through this list. So you go through Dusty May, Jerome Tang. At this point, this guy's been an assistant since 2003 at just Baylor and many other years before that. Kansas State is a good job. It's a really good job. I think it's an underappreciated job, and they've had a lot of success. I saw some tweet today like, oh, is Kansas State in future years going to be able to keep Jerome Tang? I'm not saying that everyone just gets appreciative. Oh, this was a school that gave him his first break as head coach. If I'm him, why are you leaving right now? You're in the Big 12, which is a phenomenal basketball conference, even with the changes that are happening. And I look at the job that Jerome Tang has done. In year one, he seems happy. You know, where NIL and the transfer portal, if you're just able to navigate that, you maybe don't need a bigger brand name job. Like if clearly one of those blue bloods ever come calling and they open up, that's a different story. But if I'm Jerome Tang, I don't really think there's much more to gain here outside of, okay, get the job done tomorrow. You're in the Final Four. And then it's really just all gravy from there because this team, they were picked dead last in the Big 12. But if you do continue that run with the star that you have in Marquise Noel, like you're talking about, you just go down in the annals of NCAA tournament history of one of those runs we always remember, especially if you take it all the way.
Oh, yeah, they go all the way, 100%. But even like I said, getting to the Final Four, it changes the way everyone remembers you for sure. Like I said, if you're Jerome Tang, like there's a lot of really good history with Kansas State basketball. You're in arguably the best conference right now in college basketball. There's no reason to leave. This is the end goal if you want to stay there for a while, and so far off to a hot start.
Danny Hurley, ever since Calhoun walked away from UConn, it's like, okay, who's that next guy? I know Kevin Ollie, it's weird to say that, but he won a championship and it just ended so horribly. You look at Danny Hurley, we all know the basketball family that he comes from and what his dad has done in the New Jersey area. If he gets them to the Final Four, right, like you lose tomorrow, like that would be disappointing because a lot of people I think are going to pick UConn to beat Gonzaga. But if you get to the Final Four, this is just once again putting the stamp on, you know, you try to claim programs are back. Now, I'm not putting this to the level of Texas and Miami and football because that's just silly. And UConn has won a championship since Calhoun has left. But this would be like, okay, guys, UConn is back if they punch their ticket tomorrow to the Final Four.
I mean, look, you go through the first three games of the tournament, I think that you could argue there's no team playing better than UConn right now.
Yeah, which scares me for tomorrow.
They have been blowing everyone out. They have been clicking on all cylinders. Danny Ho's done a great job so far.
Mark Few, he is the most to gain out of any coach in the NCAA tournament.
100%.
Because you know what he is? He's Andy Reid, where we all know how great of a coach he is. But you're reluctant to call him great, and you just say he's very, 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 very good. And it's crazy what he's done so far at Gonzaga. It was crazy what Reed did in Philadelphia. But when you keep on getting there and coming up short, just naturally we say, yeah, really good coach, but you can't get the big one. And this year there's not a lot of pressure on Gonzaga because there are three entering the tourney. They survived that crazy game last night, which was one of the most wild things I've ever seen on a basketball court, with they were down and out, then they're in control with 90 seconds to go. They almost lost the game, then they win the game. Whenever Mark Few is now in the NCAA tournament, until he gets that one, it's championship or bust, whether we feel the pressure or not with Gonzaga like in a year like this.
And you're 100% right of the, what now, eight, and then there's still games going on, so about like 12 or whatever it is, 20 schools left. Playing with these games included, no one has more to gain than Mark Few. You win a national title, you cement kind of your legacy. Like Andy Reid, there's no other coach that would win a national title this year left that I think would gain more than Mark Few would.
Nate Oates, I think there is a lot to gain for Nate Oates. I think we all acknowledge he's a good coach, but if you don't get to the championship, and right now they were down by 5 at half, they're already up by 2 with 17 minutes left in this game, but with, I hate to say how easy this road is shaping out to be. If you don't get to a championship game, then you start to have the way that people view you just solely based off coaching basketball change, where it's like, wow, you had Brandon Miller and you had in front of you San Diego State, Creighton, Princeton, FAU, and Kansas State. You couldn't get to the championship. It would be a very negative and a very bad look for Nate Oates this offseason.
Couldn't agree more.
Brian Dutcher at San Diego State. It seems like no one talks about San Diego State, if we're being honest. No one.
Look, you win tonight.
Different.
I think you change your trajectory, obviously. But so far, if they get bounced, I mean, so again, a solid run for San Diego. So you lose to the one seed, okay. But you're there in the Sweet 16. They've just been the model of consistency recently.
Jim Larrañaga, we always will remember him for what he did at George Mason. Now, for me, it's just, can you top what you did at George Mason? We talked about that with him when he joined us right before the start of the NCAA tournament. And they have a team right now, they're up by 3, 34-31 against Houston. They have a team this year based off, I know there's been some change in the roster, but based off what they did last year, going to the Elite Eight, they have a team that can not just get to the Final Four, but they could win it all this year. And it's, can you get to another Final Four if you're Jim Larrañaga?
That Isaiah Wong said, and look, they played really well against Indiana. That they did. They have the confidence, no doubt, about being a Final Four, possible championship team.
Now, quickly, just rolling through these teams before we got to get take a break at the top of the hour. Kelvin Sampson, it already seems like he's had the redemption story, Hickey, but now it's, with especially with the Final Four being in Houston, it's not only getting there again, but it's winning it all this year. Because if they could stay healthy, it's tough to find a better team than Houston. Like, you look at UCLA, if they could stay healthy, it's tough to find a better team than UCLA. They weren't able to stay healthy. So for Kelvin Sampson, it's just how much further you're going to take just this victory lap and this victory tour before you move over to the Big 12.
It's also delivering. Like, it's cool in one sense. You could play in your backyard to a national championship. In another sense,
it's, football.
It's insane how hard that is to do with all the eyes looking down. You know, I think it's a lot more pressure than it is anything else.
Greg McDermott, I think it's just more national respect. I think a lot of us know how good of a coach he is, but if he gets to the Final Four, then it's his moment in the spotlight. Sean Miller, it's kind of weird because what he was doing now, I guess you're allowed to do it. I know people went to jail, but for him at Xavier, to be in this spot, he's been to a bunch of Elite Eights before. We'll see how much further he could take it if he gets to the Elite Eight coming up with a win up against Texas tonight. Rodney Terry, I think he should have the Texas job just because I don't know who else you're bringing in. Like, there's not, like, if you want to tell me Pat Kelsey, if you want to tell me Dusty May, okay. But outside of that, like, who else is the name that Texas is going to get? Like, Jay Wright's not taking that job. Jay Wright's staying on TV, so that would be different. So it's almost as if, like, for Rodney Terry, the further you go, even though it shouldn't really be an argument right now, you just further and further solidify your case. And the final name, Mitch Henderson, I don't know how much better you could do than this. I don't know if he actually wants to leave Princeton because, remember, he played at Princeton with when Pete Carrill was his coach, the late, great Pete Carrill, and he had that great moment against UCLA. But now it's just continuing where no one thinks you're going to really get much further than what you already did. No one thought you would be here. Now it's just how far can you really take this thing? So that's how you kind of look at all these coaches and what they have to gain here in these great runs. And you'll always remember a team like Princeton already because back-to-back-to-back years we've seen a 15 seed win. And you saw last year, St. Peter's took it all the way to Elite Eight. So maybe Princeton could do that. Take a timeout. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll do a news brief next.
Nothing's better than feeling comfortable in your own shoes. Maybe you're a parent raising a little rock star or a tech nomad working from anywhere. Allbirds wants you to be comfortable in your actual shoes too. Their wool runners, pipers, and loungers are so cozy you might forget you're wearing them. And they're crafted from natural materials that tread lightly on our planet. So get comfortable in your shoes. Get to know the wool runners, pipers, and loungers at allbirds.com. That's A-L-L-B-I-R-D-S.com.